Welcome to Diverse City Church Sermons. We hope that you enjoy this week's message by Pastor Ray.
Experience where it was not really relevant to us, Lord, and we left feeling good but never changed. That's not what we want, Lord. We want to be changed. We want to be transformed. We want church to be relevant to our lives and practical, Lord. And I just pray that you'll be here today. Pray that you'll get me out of the way, that you'll have center stage through all of the humor, through the tears, through whatever's produced and comes out of this moment, Lord. I pray that you'll use it for your glory. You'll use it to reach us and teach us, and that we'll leave different, Lord. That's the purpose of church. It's not to come together and look real good and shout real good and dance real good and then be the same. Lord, the purpose is to be transformed, that we can go and transform the places that we live and work. So help us, Lord, help us. This is the first year of 2019, and we want you to be with us the entire year, Lord. And I pray that you'll help me to lay a great foundation for your children, for my brothers and sisters. Lord, we honor you and we thank you. And I ask that you'll help me to deliver this word with power and clarity, with accuracy. Holy Spirit, speak to my mind and allow me to say things that I wasn't even thinking, that I can reach people right where they are. We want to ram a word, Lord. We want words that is specifically for us. Not general words, but Lord, we want to hear it dead on, Lord. We want dead on words, Lord. We want a church that's alive and well and tangible and practical, Lord. We need you. We need you. Our government needs you. Federal government, local government, our city needs you. Our country needs you. Heck with all that, Lord. Our families need you. My marriage needs you. My children need you. Heck with all that, Lord. My mind, I need you, Lord. We need, our sobriety needs you. Our mental well-being needs you. Our finances need you. God, I'm tired of talking about the world needing you, Lord. I'm going to be honest for a minute and say, I need you to work in my life, Lord. And I'm not ashamed to say it. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name, have your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm so glad you're here today. I believe the Lord's got a message for us. I just want to say real quickly, I know that there was some people that wanted to get their children involved in our last production, and we announced it on the video, and somehow some folks didn't see it, which is perfectly fine. Therefore, I am making a live broadcast announcement right now that we would love for your kids or grandkids to be a part of our Easter production. And we are taking people, signing them up now. So please sign up. Thank you so much. With no further ado, good morning again and happy New Year. Can you believe it, guys? We're here. 2019. We shouldn't be here, but we are. So God's got a plan for you still. We are 1 year away from 2020. Think about that. I've got an 11-year-old daughter. We are 11 years away from 2030. I mean, those numbers don't even make sense. I remember back in 1999, it was about to be year 2000, and folks was out buying canned goods and water and propane heaters, and they just knew that something was going to happen with the computer system, and everything was going to go wacko because our computer system wasn't able to handle year 2000. Anybody remember that? But here we are in 2019. Wow. It was 20 years ago, 1999, when we was all crazy wondering what was going to happen. Matter of fact, this year, some of y'all is going to say I'm young, some's going to say I'm old, but this year is my 20th year class reunion, and I'll be going to my class reunion 20 years. Amazing how fast time just flies by. When I look at year 2019, I quickly ask myself, where in the world has time went? Nobody else, just me? I mean, life has seemingly just flew right past us. I was just in school. I was just taking college classes. I just got ordained. I just got married. I just had my first child. And now I'm married 13 years with 4 kids, my oldest in middle school. Where in the world has time went? Right? Honestly, when I think about life and how fast I'm passing through it, I can't help but think about the so many scriptures that tell us that life is short. Now, I got to tell you real quick that our world is saying YOLO. You only live once. And what they're saying essentially is do it up and do it big, because basically you always got tomorrow to make it right. But if I understand scriptures correctly, we can't act as if we can YOLO today and get it right tomorrow, because today may be our last one. See, as a pastor, I have the privilege of being at many people's side as they breathe their last breath. I say privilege because it really is an honor that they would call me and want me to be there, and it is an honor indeed for me to be there. And one thing I've noticed in all of the bedsides I've been at and in all of the funerals that I have officiated is that death is no respecter of person. It doesn't matter how much money you have, what family you grew up in, and how old you are. Death is going to get every single one of us at some point or another. So we can't always live like we always have tomorrow, because if I understand scripture correctly, life is short. Life is short. Really, that's the first point, and I put it on the screen because I don't want you to see it, because some of you are people who learn by hearing, but others are people who learn by seeing, and I want you to see just for a moment that life is very short, and I want to give you some scripture references to show you how the Bible, that men wrote the word of God through the direction of the Holy Spirit, and God's intentions was to teach us something. And the thing that he taught us here in this point is life is short. Some of you are saying, well, I thought 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 years is quite a lot of living. What about those who live to 105 and 110? It doesn't matter how long you live. When you get to that age and begin to look back, you say to yourself, like everybody else does, and it's, wow, where in the world did time go? I think all of us will admit that the person we really are is not accurate with the person we think we are. Like sometimes you might be 50 and you feel like you're 35, and then you go back in front of the mirror and you're reminded again that you are 50. Some of you are 70, maybe 80, 60, I don't know, 40, 30, who knows. And you feel a lot younger than you really are, and then it's one of those days, oh, Arthur wakes up with you. And I ain't talking about that Arthur, I'm talking about arthritis. And you realize how old you really are. Or sometimes our mind tells us we're young, but our SAGs tell us something different. In Psalms chapter 102, verse 11, it says, my days are like an evening shadow. My days are like an evening shadow. I don't know how many of you guys get out in the evening, but you'll see a shadow. But if you wait about 30 minutes or so, it is gone. It says that our days are like grass. They just wither away. It's amazing that the author is saying that our life is like a shadow. It's here, but moving, and quickly it's gone. Our life is like grass. It withers away. I'd rather be like a cactus. I'm here for a while. Nope. Our life's not like a cactus. That's like a piece of grass. It gets cut down all the time. Dog pees on it and turns it brown, and it's never coming back. Psalms 144 and 4 says, man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Well, we already know the passing shadow. We talked about that a moment ago. But when I think about, y'all know me, how I think. My brain's a little kind of different. So, but when I think about man is like a breath, I think about bad breath. It's me. I'm just. And I'm grateful that bad breath does not stay. When I meet somebody with bad breath, is only for a minute. You just got to endure that initial puff. And then the Lord makes you hip to it. And you just change your direction. I mean, you're still engaged, but your nose has changed directions. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, right. So it's saying that man is like bad breath. It's there and gone, just that quick. Right? So what I need us to see for a moment is man's life is like a breath. You see it in the cold, but guess what? As quick as you see it, it's gone. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and 24. It says, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. So here we're seeing that not only is our life like grass and we're going to wither, but maybe you got it special and you're a flower. But even in all of your glory, you too are going to fall. Look at James chapter 4 and 14. It says, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while, just a little while of time, and then it vanishes. Now, this is very important for us to get in our heads, because in our world today, again, we keep talking about, we always had to mind, oh, you young, you good, you got your whole life in front of you. But that's not really true. At least that's what I believe, because I've done funerals of girls who were 16 years old named Jada that was at the wrong place at the wrong time, right down here at Mount Pleasant Park, and got hit by a stray bullet. Up to good, not no good, just chilling, hanging out with their friends, and got hit by a stray bullet. I could tell you about babies, funerals that I had to do because of unforeseen or terrible circumstances. I could tell you about 20-year-olds and teenagers and 30-year-olds and 50-year-olds. It doesn't matter how old we are and where we are from, death can creep up on any one of us. And the enemy wants us to believe that we always have tomorrow, but the reason the enemy keeps saying YOLO is because God has always said, do it now. Remember, the enemy is a liar, and every time he speaks, he lies. He does not speak truth. He only speaks lies. And that's why we know it's a lie when someone says you always have tomorrow, because the truth is we don't. The Bible taught us and continues to teach us that life is very short, and if today is Sunday, I need to live like today is my last day. Not live like I have tomorrow, because tomorrow, as the Bible says, is not promised to any of us. So really, the second point is, number one is life is short, but number two, we as the people need to number our days. We need to number our days. In Psalms chapter 90, verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Now look, it doesn't say number your days and then you'll get wise and get wisdom. What he's saying is, if you number your days, you are wise. If you take life serious and know that any day could be your last one, and you don't take any day for granted, and you treat that day as an important and special day, now you're walking in wisdom. The goal is that we make the most of each day. Now, I got to be honest with you, whenever I'm preaching messages, I'm pretty good at living them. But it's a few weeks later that sometimes I go backwards and get set in and forget the sermon that I preached to myself. I say that because yesterday I did really good at numbering my days. My wife is out of town. She went and visited a church about 2.5 hours away, connecting with some of the team there and taking notes and just figuring out some stuff for us here and just meeting with them, because we believe that you should always connect with people who are doing better and are bigger and stronger. And we sent her down to a very good friend of mine, Kent Miller, who pastors a very, very great, thriving, spirit-filled church about 2.5 hours away. So she's there for the weekend, and I was on daddy duty yesterday. You can't babysit your own kids, so I wasn't babysitting, just to let y'all know that. I was told that years ago. You can't babysit your own kids. So I wasn't babysitting. I ain't gonna tell you who said it. I don't know why my wife said it, though, but, you know. So yesterday I was watching my kids. And, you know, I just wanted to do me. And you know, I quickly felt like, you know, I can't preach on numbering the days, and I'm not going to treat my kids like it could be the last one. I need to do something with them. So, you know, this day, I passed. I don't always pass, but I passed this day. And when we pillow fight, we had a big old pillow fight. You know, I mean, kids got hurt. Yes, definitely. Kids were hurt. And I'm not kidding. Kids was crying. Anthony cried. Isabella cried. I think only two of them cried. But we had fun, and at the end of the night, Hadassah was like, "Mom, guess what we did? What'd you do? We had a pillow fight. Did you see us on the camera?" Because we have this little $30 camera that, you know, sometimes we spy on the house and stuff, and she's like, "No, I didn't watch it." I'm like, "Hadassah, why'd you tell her? Now she's going to watch us the rest of the night." But at the end of the night, I said to my kids, you know, at first I took a couple minutes and I talked to Hadassah, and we really had a great conversation. We don't have them a ton, but we had one. It's about 15 or 20 minutes long. And she cried, and I told her I was sorry for some stuff, and we just really had some good time. And I acted like I had nothing else to do, even though I did. And at the end of the night, my kids were in my bed because we all slept together, which means I barely sleep, and got toes and stuff kicked in my face all night long. But I said to them before I went downstairs and put them into my bed, I said, Hadassah said, "I love you." And I said, "I know, thank you, baby." And I said, "I love you." And I said, "I love all of you so much." And Hadassah said something to me that made it so worth me numbering my days. She said to me, "Daddy, I know you love me." And she says, "I know that you love all of us." And I said, "How do you know that, Hadassah?" She says, "You tell me every day, and you always show it, like you did today." And at that moment, I thought to myself, God forbid I ever forget and stop numbering my days. It is so important that we are intentional every single day to some level of just diligence or priority, where we do something to make people think, this could be the last one, right? Like, that's the real goal. And honestly, yes, maybe I wasn't quite as prepared for today as I would have liked to be, because I had to be with my children and I decided to play pillow fight and talk rather than doing other stuff for the church. But can I tell you that I would not change it for anything? I'm so glad that I took the moment. See, that's what it means when you number your days, because you know life is short and all of your children may not be there tomorrow, so you're going to take time today. See, when it talks about numbering your days, what it means is you're not going to wait till tomorrow to fix a grudge or unforgiveness you have with someone, but you're going to be intentional to go and try to reconcile it today. See, for so long we have waited and we keep putting things off, and the enemy has convinced us that we always have tomorrow to say, I'm sorry, but how many of y'all waited till tomorrow and now the person's dead and you're carrying around guilt? Right? I want to tell you today that the Bible is completely contrary to what our world says. The world says you always got tomorrow, but the Bible says life is short. It's like a vapor. It's here 1 minute and gone the next, and you need to do what you need to do right now. Number your days. See, when you think about numbering your days, what happens in your mind is something begins to change. It's kind of like your bank account. Now, if you are a multi-billionaire, you don't need to number your money or take care of your money or oversee your money, because you don't care how much money you spend because you got plenty enough of it. But when you only have a certain amount of money and you want to be a good steward of the money that you have, you have to number your money. You have to balance your checkbook. You have to always get on your app and see what charges are coming off and what's pending and what's going to go off, what has went in, what came out, what interest rate is, what you're paying. Are there overdraft fees? Hopefully there isn't any, but overdraft fees and all these different things. And you're constantly monitoring it because you are numbering the money because you know how important it is, but yet the enemy makes us feel like billionaires with our life, as if we have plenty to spend and we don't need to number them. But can I tell you that you need to number your life like you number your account? Make sense? Now, some of y'all don't know how to budget your money, so please don't number your life like your money. Go get money help, and then we'll compare that to your life. All right, keep going. James chapter 4 and 13. It says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go and do such and such in a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. It says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. So essentially what James is saying, he says, hey, look, check it out. Come now, all of you who are saying, I'm going to go do this tomorrow. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to go live in this town. I'm going to spend this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to work out this. He says, let me tell you something really, really quick. What is life? For it is a mist that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. He says, instead of you making all these plans and talking about what you're going to do and how you're going to get it and how you're going to knock this out, he says, I want you to start saying, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Amen. See, fundamentally, what James is saying is life is short, and when we make plans, we should always leave room for God's will. Or, as the old school church folk used to say, if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise, I'll see you on Sunday morning. Anybody heard that before? If the good Lord's willing and the creek don't rise, I'll see you next week. See, somewhere along the way, this newer generation continues to make plans as if we always have tomorrow and next year, and we forget to end our plans with, if it's your will, God, so let it be. So what does all this mean for us? It means that we will make plans, and we should make plans, and we should strive for 2019 to be the absolute best that we can. But we must not forget that ultimately God is in control, and we want His will to be done. We need to look at 2018 and just forget all the negative stuff that has happened. And we need to reach forward for 2019 and make the best of it and say, this is what I'm believing for. This is what I'm running for. Here's my dreams. Here's my vision. I wrote it down. I made a plan. And now I'm walking in execution. Nevertheless, let your will be done. There is a way to perfectly plan, yet perfectly trust in the provision and sovereignty of God. See, too many church people, as I said last week, keep dreaming about what they want to do, but they never put it into action, and now 30 years later, they still don't have anything.
Oh, I'm praying and trusting God. I'm praying and trusting God. I want a house. I'm praying and trusting God. I'm believing in the ministry. I'm praying and trusting God. I'm believing in this business. I'm praying and trusting God. And it don't work. You can't just pray and trust God. You need to start doing something. Write the vision, make it plain, comes up with steps, execution plan, a business plan, a model, meet with some people who've done it, who are better than you, who are doing it, and figure out how you're going to do it, and then you implement it, okay? But here's the thing. Don't think just because you have a plan, you're going to make it. At the end of your plan, your wisdom, your diligence, your strategy, you need to say like Jesus, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. See, in Psalms 94:11, it says the Lord knows the thoughts of man, but they're vanity. Look, God knows our thoughts. They're vain. Now when you think of vain, it's self-centered. It's pointless. It's all about us and what we want. And it says the Lord knows the thoughts of man. You know, he knows our thoughts. Most of them are pointless, right? We all have plans, right? 2019. How many in 2019 got a plan? Oh, okay, a couple of y'all have a plan. I bet you a lot more hands are going to be raised for this. How many of y'all are hoping for something in 2019? You ain't got no plan, but you hoping for something. A couple more of y'all, rest of y'all embarrassed to admit it. It's okay. Right? So we all have plans. If you don't have a plan, you need to figure something out. I was about to say something else, but I ain't going to say it. I'm trying to be nice. It's 2019. If you ain't got a plan, you need to get one. If you don't have any hopes and aspirations for 2019, you need to get one. We all need to have aspirations and plans. But here's the thing. In Isaiah chapter 55 and 8, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. See, we must remember that God doesn't always do the things that we want him to do or work the way we want him to work. So we're going to make a plan. It may be a plan from God. But even though God gave you a plan, don't think that plans may not change. Because they may. Sometimes God will give you a revelation of what he wants you to do. But in the process of executing and getting to the place that God is taking you, you find out along the way there's a curveball or a detour or something that you weren't expecting. You wanted it to go this way, and God knew that you needed to go that way to get back to that way. See, because sometimes God and us are not lining up on how to get to the end. See, the destination is the same. The purpose that he invested in you, the thing that he's called you to, it may be the same, and we're chasing after God-given dreams, but the way we get there may be different. See, you all think if you're going to North County, just jump on 70 and go straight out and pass the airport. But God maybe wants to take you down 44, cut you over Hampton, then take you up 40, and then bring you around 170. And then once you get over to 70 and 170, have you turn around and go back to St. Charles Rock Road, go down St. Charles Rock Road into Bridgeton, and then get on to 70 again and have you come back up and cross over to 170, 270 all over again. It doesn't make sense. I don't know why God's doing it, but we have to understand that the destination that God gives you doesn't always come the way you want it to. We have to see that 2019 doesn't always mean we're going to get it the way we want it. What that means is 2019 may not go the way you expect, but guess what? You're going to keep going anyway. When 2019 throws you a curveball that you weren't expecting, you got to keep on going anyway. We must remember that God has a plan, even in the unforeseen storms. We have to learn how to expect. This is important. If y'all are going to write something down, there's something to write down right here. We need to learn how to expect the unexpected. We need to expect and accept. It's coming. I feel it. There we go. We need to learn to expect
and accept the unexpected. Now, this is important because here's the thing. Lots of you expect the unexpected. But do you accept it? You know that the way you're going to get there is different than the way you plan. How many of y'all know that if God puts something in you, he wants you to get it, right? If he's got a plan for your life, he wants you to achieve it. Everybody with me? But how many of y'all have been on your journey trying to get to where God has called you to, but somewhere along the way, things start to happen, and you're like, Lord, why does this have to happen? Why do I have to lose someone I love? Why do I have to lose my job? Why do I have to lose my house? Why did I have to be betrayed and backstabbed? Why did so-and-so walk away from me? Why was I diagnosed with stage 4 cancer? Lord, why did I have to go through this? I don't understand, Lord, because sometimes God allows things to happen because he can see more than we can see. We should expect things to not always go our way. But here's my question. Can you accept them? Can you expect them and accept them? Can you say, okay, Lord, this isn't what I wanted, but I'm willing to learn from it? See, we have to trust God. Even when things do not go the way we planned, we have to trust that God will make a way even through our adversity and troubles. I must tell you, the enemy loves seeing people, especially God's people, quit because life got hard. Let me say that one more time. The enemy absolutely loves seeing God's people quit because life got hard. The enemy loves seeing dreams killed because life's troubles overwhelm them. We cannot allow troubles to stop us. We must keep going. We have to trust that the unexpected has not caught us off guard, and that God was expecting the unexpected. That God allowed the unexpected, and that God has a plan through the unexpected. We must take advantage of every moment, family, not just the good ones. We must trust God in every situation, not just the good ones. We can't just trust him when things are well. We need to trust him when it feels like we're in hell. Right? Every good thing points to God. But in every bad situation, it can be used for God. Every move we make can be for the gospel. In every situation that comes our way, we may not understand, but we have to trust that God has a plan through it. See, God had a purpose in the Apostle Paul when he was on that ship, and the ship wrecked due to a storm and ended up landing at the island of Malta. See, us, if we are on a ship and it begins to rock and it ends up being broken up and devastated and torn apart, and we end up in some foreign land that we don't know, we're going to cry the blues and we're going to try to get home as quick as we can, but not the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, God's in control of every ship, every wind that blows, every wave that crashes. And if he allowed the wind to blow and the waves to crash that our boat ends up here, then God must have a plan for me. And Paul got off that boat, and don't you know that revival broke out in the island of Malta? Why? Because Paul had the right attitude about the situation he was in. Can I tell you that your altitude is determined by your attitude? Where you go in life is determined by how you perceive the situations that you're in. I could tell you about the Apostle Paul and how he was in prison and then wrote a letter, an epistle, and says, don't be worried about me for being locked up in chains for Jesus. Because of me being in prison, the gospel has been further preached.
And now people's being saved. Now I tell you, if I get put in prison, I'm going to be reaching out to a lawyer. If I can't afford it, I'm going to be waiting on legal aid. I'm going to be writing letters. I'm going to be doing all I can to try to get myself out the system, but not the Apostle Paul. He says, I'm going to sit right here. My advocate is Jesus. I already got a lawyer. I don't need to look for anything. I'm going to believe that God's got me here for a reason. And once I get through it, I'm going to see it. And then he wrote about it. And he says, hey guys, don't you feel sorry for me. I'm sitting in prison, but God's got a plan. The jailer got saved. This one got baptized. This one got set free. This one got delivered. And what that means for us is when bad things happen to you, we need to stop in our tracks and say, I won't complain. I'm not going to fret and worry and wonder. Instead, I'm going to say that the eye is on the sparrow. Instead, I'm going to say, God's in control. He knows every hair on my head. He's a sovereign. He has a plan. And if this didn't catch my God off surprise, I can dance in the midst of my troubles because I know he'll make a way every single time in my life. But a lot of us will not see the blessing in the troubles because our attitudes are not right. Your attitude's got to be right. As I mentioned once before, I remember getting a flat tire here in St. Louis in 2008. I didn't live here yet. I was traveling through, preaching and visiting the church, just seeing if the Lord was calling us here. And on my way home, I remember preaching at St. Charles Church that morning. And I was going back to Maryland, so we had to come up 70 and then just keep on going out 70. And between St. Charles and the Arch, first time in Missouri, feeling like the Lord has called us here, and I get a flat tire on 70. No, excuse me, not a flat tire. I got a dead battery on 70. And you know, quickly, you think, here's what you think. You're like, Lord, are you trying to tell me I ain't supposed to be here? Right? Anybody do that? You get real spiritual? You know how you get real spiritual? You know what I'm talking about, right? Something bad happened. What you trying to say, Lord? Right? Thank God I had preached a message that day saying in our troubles we need to look for the Lord. As I mentioned earlier, it's really always when I've been preaching something that God does something and I'm actually mindful of those things. And that day, we got where our battery died and I pulled over and I'm like, man, I don't know what to do. Is it my battery? Is it my alternator? What is it? I didn't know what it was. And I was like, Lord, just get me somewhere, you know. And I remember cranking my car and got it to start again. And I was able to get to the AutoZone. And the AutoZone I went to, I remember it very clearly, was the one right here at Gravoy and Compton. The hood one, y'all know what I'm talking about. So here I am, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, all right, cool. I know where. I mean, I didn't know it was hood then. Now I do because I've been here 9 years, you know. And I'm there, and I go in, and I'll never forget talking to a guy for nearly an hour about Jesus that day as he put my battery in my car. I drove off, and the Lord said to me, the reason I allowed your battery to hold out as long as it did and die at this moment is because that guy was bound to apostolic religion for years, and I was able to pour into his life, and it only cost me $80. See, that's the thing God does. But when you are grumbling and complaining and frustrated and irritable, God can't raise your altitude because your attitude's messed up. See, God had a plan for people like Joseph when he was betrayed by his family. God had a plan for people like Esther, whose both parents died and had to be raised by her uncle Mordecai. God had a plan. God knows what he's doing, and we have to trust that God has a plan for us. Why do I say that? I say that because you need to know God has a plan. You make a plan, and you begin to chase your dreams in 2019, but I want you to expect the unexpected and accept it.
Amen, Pastor Ray. That's good stuff.
So here's what I want to close with. God has a plan. Everybody say, God has a plan.
God has a plan.
He's got a plan for your life.
He's got a plan for every single one of you. 2019, he's got a plan for you. Now, my goal is that next week we're going to have 100% attendance again. That's my goal. And actually, we have been taking pictures, all service, live pictures, and posting them on Facebook. And we're going to take the same pictures next week. And we got a system that's going to identify every face that's not here. And we're actually going to blow the pictures up, and we're going to put them on Facebook, circled. So if you're not here next week, we will publicly shame you. Yes. We are bringing some old school church up in here. Yes, we are. No, I'm just messing. All right. Cameras are rolling though, right, Graylin? You got... Okay, cool. But all jokes aside, 2019, God's got a plan for every one of us. I really believe that. I believe that he's got a plan for your life, and we need to start chasing it. I told you last week, and I encourage you to go back and listen to the message if you didn't hear it, where we really just started laying it all out and how we achieve these great things for God this year. And I want you to go. I believe that God wants you to go. God is not stale. God is not dead. He's alive. He's progressive. He's real. He's innovative. He's creative. And if God is progressive and real and alive and innovative and creative, guess what? What we should be: alive, real, innovative, and creative. We should be progressive. We should not be stagnant. We should not be dead. We should not be sitting back and not doing nothing. We should be doing and achieving and becoming and growing. If we're not growing, if we're stuck, if we're stale, if we're stagnant, it's probably because we are not doing and being what God wants us to do and be. God is always moving. Every person in the Word of God that followed God continued to move up the ladder. It was those that lost sight of God that became complacent with God and then became complacent with their life. Why did David fall to Bathsheba? Because he took his eyes off of God and started putting them on other stuff. Why did Noah end his life building vineyards where he started his life building altars? Because he took his eyes off of God. When your priorities begin to shift, progression stops. We should all be progressing this year in 2019. So now that we all have hopes and desires to start and going and doing something, I want to leave you with this. God has a plan for your life. And in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." Here's what I need you to see for just a second. We are about to step out these doors in our first full week of 2019. And you're going to walk into this year and you want to start conquering your greatest desires, the dreams that God has given you. You want to walk in purpose. You want to walk in destiny. You want to achieve great things. And you're going to walk out those scary doors and deal with real life issues, being lonely, being insecure, fighting with fear and feelings and inadequacies and people at work and all these hurts and pains. This is a reality, and you need to walk into 2019 and say, "I am going to try harder and work harder and achieve more this year than I did last year." But somewhere along the way, the unexpected is going to happen to you. And you're walking, your head is up high, you're believing God for greatness, and something's going to happen. Some of y'all is going to lose family members this year. Oh, don't speak that over my life. We all got to die. Some of us are going to go through financial trouble. Some of us are going to have issues that come through. But guess what? We need to figure out a way to expect the unexpected and be steadfast and immovable. What that means, movable means you move around, right? Immovable means you stand. You are standing. It means that everything in the world is hitting you. This year seems worse than last year. Every adversity, every trouble, every person that you could ever have come against you is coming against you. And all you want to do is move. And God is saying, just stay still. Just stay still. And you're going to be wind blowing. It's going to, you know, it's going to take you like a tree to the side. And it's going to feel like you're about to be uprooted. And God is saying, just keep on standing. Don't you move. Don't you give in. Don't you quit. You just stand still, and God will see us through. Amen. The problem is, most of the time, we start off well, and somewhere along the way, life happens, and we become movable. We become movable. Our convictions start to change. Our commitment starts to change. Our persistency starts to change. And we find ourselves movable. We need to be like the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, brethren, be steadfast. Don't let nothing move you. Always abound in the work of the Lord. The commitment you make this Sunday, don't let nothing move you next Saturday night. The commitment you make to the Lord today, don't let nothing move you in 3 weeks from now. See, this is why most American Christians don't see the amazing things of God, because we're so easily moved. We let sermons move us too quick. Yes, I said it, sermons. We let leaders move us too quick. Pastors move us too quick. I don't think anyone should simply just hear a message, let it move you, and you go on your merry way, and you didn't process anything in your head and heart. We come up here to responses. We have altar calls. We pray for you, but that's not the end. That was the start. We should be going home and then processing what the Word of God was, what it said. Does it line up? Is it accurate? We go through it ourselves. We pray. We meditate. We sit on it, and we take a week. We digest it, and we allow what the Word was preached to become a part of our lives, and now we become immovable. See, because when we can figure out a way to not be moved, your labor will never be in vain. The problem is most of us see our Christian life and we're wondering, is the sacrifice worth the payoff? And most people can't see the payoff in the sacrifice because your sacrifice keeps moving. Got quiet. I know I'm cool and laugh and tell jokes about hemorrhoids and poop stains. I know, but look, I got to be real for a minute. I don't know when that was I preached it, but y'all remember it. Me been in Old Navy and got hit with it. But today I'm being honest with you and for real, like, look, and I'm telling this to myself, Ray, you will not see what you want to see if you keep moving. Stick to whatever it is that God told you to do. Why in the world do you keep changing your aspirations and dreams and vision and goals and coming up with new plans and chasing this and chasing that, and everyone has you move? You need to figure out what I've called you to do and stick to it. Stick to it. I'm not telling you to tithe for a week. I'm telling you to tithe. I'm not telling you to be faithful for a month. I'm telling you to be faithful. I'm not telling you to stay with this ministry for a season. I'm telling you to stay with it. Right? Stay with it. Galatians 6 and 9 says, and let us not grow weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. And look, don't get weary. Don't get tired of doing what's right. Just keep on doing it. Don't keep allowing your weariness to make you quit. Stand up and stand strong, and God will prevail every single time in your life. And in closing, last scripture, Psalm 66. It says, for you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into a net. You laid afflictions on our back. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and we went through the water. But you brought us out to a rich fulfillment. Just think what he's saying there. Think about that. You, Lord, you've allowed us to go through and be tested. We were refined like silver. We were brought into a net. Afflictions were laid on our back. Men rode over our heads. We went through the fire. We went through water. Has anybody ever been in a situation and the situation was so heated, it was so hot, it was so fierce, it was so overwhelming that you almost knew that you weren't going to get out of it? Or how about when the water is so deep, as we say, my head is underwater. I can barely keep my head above water, and you're kicking as hard as you can, and every once in a while your head goes under and you can't breathe, and then you get some strength to come back up and catch another breath, and then you start drowning again and you catch another breath. He's saying that, look, there's sometimes we go through the water, we go through fire, life is overwhelming, it seems like I'm falling apart, and I sit back and I begin to question and say, God, what are you doing? You told me you had greatness for me, but it seems like everything's falling apart. And in those moments, the Apostle Paul says, be not weary in well-doing. In due season, in the fire, in the water, in the midst of your adversity, you better keep on standing. Don't you move. Don't you quit. Don't you give in. Because sooner or later, you're going to come out on the other side with a rich fulfillment. Can I tell you, lots of you have quit in the fire. You reached out for the raft in the water. You decided to trust people instead of God. You said, this is too hard, it's not what I signed up for, and you threw in the towel. And today God is saying to someone right now today that this is a new year, it's a new season, and I'm not going to allow things or people, adversity or troubles to get in my way. Lord, I'm committed to standing. When everybody else falls, I'm committed to not move when everybody else moves. I'm committed to keep chasing the thing that you told me to chase, even when it seems like that thing gets further and further away the more I chase it. God, I don't want to move anymore. Is anybody tired of moving? Tired of moving. Lord, make us over. Just pray with me for a moment. Father, I thank you so much for today and just this message and this special service that we had here. We honor you for just being so good to us. We made it. 2018 is complete. It's done. It's over. We are now in 2019, Lord, and we want to do different. We want to be more faithful. God, we don't want things to move us so much. The Lord just reminded me that most likely we'll fail and fail again. But He loves us so much that even when you move, He doesn't. I feel like I'm supposed to tell somebody that today. That you've been moving a lot. You've not been very committed to Him. And God wants me to tell you, even though you have been moving, He has not. And that He's still available to you. And He loves you. And that He's your greatest fan. He's your greatest fan. He's more of a fan than your wife or your husband, your best friend, your boss. He's your greatest fan. He's in your corner and he's rooting for you. Matter of fact, I want to pray for anyone who's dealing with a spirit of guilt. Because last year you walked away from God many times. You were back and forth. You were up and down. You were in and out. And I just want to pray right now for the spirit of guilt. And I just feel led to just rebuke and bind every lying voice that comes in your head. And I say in the name of Jesus, God loves you. And He's not changed the way He feels about you. And that His plan that He has for your life is still available. It's a yes and amen. He's not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. And the things He spoke to you are still available to you. And don't you think because you moved that He moved. God has not moved. His plan has not changed. And He's saying, now is an opportunity for you to return to Him and do your best to stand and not move. But even if you do, I pray in the name of Jesus that the spirit of condemnation will not come on you. Because God is greater than your mistakes. Though you may feel like you've been rejected, God has never rejected you. The enemy is putting those lies in your head because he just wants you to skate by life and just go to work and come home and go to church and just kind of be average. And God is saying, no, that's my child, and I refuse to allow the lies of the enemy tell them that they can never do great things. Father God, I pray that you will re-release the dreams and people who have begun to let them die. I pray that you will re-speak those prophetic words into people that have almost forgotten about the prophecies. I pray that you will reintroduce your love and faithfulness to people that thought that they are too far from it. God, I'm praying ministry is beginning to be restored in the hearts and lives of some people today. God, I'm praying for an amazing work that's taking place right now through the Holy Spirit. We don't need falling out and running around. I believe that the Spirit of God is working right now in the hearts of people. Some of you are being recalled back into the ministry. Some of you are being reminded about your destiny. I feel like there's someone just saying, I'm sorry, God, for all that I've done. And God wants me to tell you again, I forgive you. It's over. Don't leave with it anymore. I love you. No more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for joining us, and we hope this message blessed you.